Welcome to the Law Shit You Should Know podcast. We're here to talk a little bit about the law
and a whole lot about nothing. Every week, we have a new guest to discuss current events, legal drama, and dive even deeper into
the Law Shit You Should Know.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Law Shit You Should Know with Alina Santana
and Leslie Marenko.
And today we have Christina Wilson. Hi, Christina.
Hello, my people.
Thank you for coming.
You're welcome.
Thank you for being
nice
here.
To be here.
Thank you for letting us torture you for the next hour.
Yeah. Well, here we go. Wow.
Well, that being said, why don't you tell our viewing and listening audience who you are, what you do, and all that fun jazz.
All right. My name is Christina Wilson. I am the founder, I guess, of Q Legal. It is a boutique law firm up in, our office is in Sunny Isles Beach in Miami. And we do corporate and real estate general counsel services. So,
what does that mean, corporate?
We draft large staple documents that nobody likes to read, basically. That's what that is.
Okay. But yeah. People have to read.
Yeah. That you should read. Yeah.
Law shit you should read.
You should read.
Law shit you should read.
Yeah. If you're like, you know, buying a business or you need
to just have a business.
Or just have a business where I was going to say, yeah, if you need like a contract, like a template agreement that you use with your customers, terms and conditions for your website, shareholder agreements, operating agreements, all that kind of stuff.
And then you said commercial real estate.
Yeah, real estate, corporate real estate, commercial real estate is pretty much what I tend to gravitate towards. So acquisitions of investment properties and shopping centers and all sorts of stuff, commercial condominiums, all that good stuff.
So rich people buying rich people shit.
Pretty much, yeah.
Which is why her office is in Sunny Isle.
Yeah, she's in Miami Beach.
All about tax deductions.
None of this downtown Miami bullshit.
Yeah.
Cool. So tell us, what did you come talking to us about today?
Wow.
Well, okay, I'll segue a little better than that. So
what do you want,
Becca? We wanted Christina. No. We wanted Christina to talk about the Corporate Transparency Act, which I'm sure people who are listening have no fucking idea what that is. So why don't you start by telling everyone what the hell that is and why they should care? How about that?
Okay. Well,
Let's go there.
That's a fair point. Okay. Yeah. So, and it is shocking, actually, how many, because this law impacts
everybody.
So many people, like basically every small business owner in the country, other than nonprofit owners, are basically impacted by this law. And I've been going around different events, talking to my own clients, talking to other people. Nobody's ever heard of this
before. Nobody has any fucking clue what this is.
It's crazy.
Outside of our world.
Including myself until I had a conversation with you, for the record. I was like, the what? I don't even know. And I'm a lawyer, so yeah. I mean, I don't even know what I could tell you about the general public. But go on.
So, in true form, so this law was originally passed back in like 2021, and it went into effect January 1, 2024. And of course, like every kind of knee-jerk reaction, as soon as this law went, becoming live, basically, you know, all the corporate attorneys out there shit their pants, essentially, or like, this is great overreach, this is ridiculous. And it basically is a law that requires disclosure, financial disclosure of the ownership of small business owners, of all small companies, LLCs, S-Corps.
Every single one, people. Because you're just going to get a shit ton of questions.
Is not federal. This is Florida, right?
No. This is federal. This is nationwide. This is like, yeah. And so they've created this portal that basically didn't go live until it was just whatever. But basically, it's so what they've defined a bunch of stuff in this law, not really well. So it's very broad and very vague in parts. And that's why it's created a lot of uproar. So not only does it apply to most small business owners out there, it's impacting beneficial owners. And you're like, what is that? You start drilling down into who is required to disclose what kind of thing. But basically, essentially, if you're a business owner and you own more than 20% of a company out there, you have to file with the federal government very important, personal information, like your date of birth, your address, your name, all these things. For every single owner in the company that owns more than 20% of the company, or it can also be interpreted that if you are a CEO, you're not even technically an owner, but you have the ability to control or make decisions on behalf of a company, well, this also applies to you. So That's where it becomes a little bit, vague and over, well, it's overreaching in general, because the other thing is this information is already, kind of disclosed to the various federal agencies. So this is just yet again, another disclosure of the same kind of information that you've already disclosed. But the interesting thing about it is, so you're disclosing your driver's license. That's a government issued ID, right? Or a passport or whatever. You're disclosing your social, you're disclosing all these things. The idea behind this law, and a lot of our countries have it already or some form of it, is to prevent money laundering. And the problem with it is the rollout of this, if you're really a bad actor in the real world, you're just going to get your buddy to like, I'm the owner. it's really not, the argument is at least that it's really not going to have an impact to prevent money laundering or bad behavior going on. So it's just being a burden and costing a bunch of money for the owners out there. And the crazy thing is the ramifications of not complying with this thing. It's like $500 a day. There's jail time.
Oh, shit.
It's like,
because FinCEN.
Yeah.
FinCEN is going to be the agency.
Yes, exactly.
Wait. So let's take a step back. So when you say all companies, are we talking about all LLCs, all PAs?
Yep.
All...
Yes. And yep. Yes.
So any mom and pop that has
every
not any mom and every pop. And every
and so if I have a company and I work out of my house, no employees, just me, I just created it because my accountant said this was the way to do my
right
gardening work, okay?
Right.
Me and my lawnmower who are cleaning up the sidewalks.
I like how somehow she gave herself the job of like landscaping or some shit.
Well, I'm trying to,
like, everything she could do.
I'm trying to think of something that doesn't require an office, doesn't require other employees. Like, I mean, it could be anything. It could be I sell, ice cream on
Mary
the corner.
Kay,
you know, you like,
sell
fine,
Mary Kay.
I sell Mary Kay.
Mary Kay.
So my point is a solo person who is just doing things to get by. We're not talking about an office or a giant corporation or anything like that.
Yeah.
I have to register my ass?
You have to register
ass.
Yes, you do.
And everyone in America doesn't know this.
And everyone in America doesn't know this.
And let's make it even worse. So if you formed your company before January 1st of 2024, they were so kind. They gave you till the end of the year to...
To
submit this information. So they gave you a window of this year to basically by December 31, 2024, pre-January 1 existing small business has to comply with this act as of today.
Yes.
If you create a company this year after post January 1, 2024 or on January 1, 2024, you have 90 days, and that was actually revised. It was originally 30 days, but they gave us a little bit of extra breathing time because everybody was losing their shit, basically. So now they're giving everyone 90 days to comply with this for new codes. And the reality of this is you have a lot of people out there that are foreigners, for example. That's an easy one for South Florida people. You're buying a piece of real estate, and you open up an LLC. You're a foreigner and you have to apply for an EIN number. Well, sometimes it takes you that whole time period to get an EIN
if
number.
If you're
signed.
Lucky, you get it
yes.
that fast half the time.
If you're filing right away,
good
you
luck.
Get it. Yeah, and then you can comply with this. But on the 30 day timeline, there's no way you would never you'd be in violation of this act.
I mean, to me, what worries me is less about the bigger companies that always have legal counsel that should have people who know these things who keep track of shit. But, I'm thinking of the ice cream guy in the corner, right?
Yeah.
Or anybody. I mean, I use Gardner because I think it's a great example of someone that wouldn't necessarily be sitting and reading all the Corporate Transparency Act.
Our nail lady
who probably has her own PA or LLC,
right.
Is not reading the Corporate Transparency Act.
There's a $500 a day penalty.
Yeah. That's
and
fucking crazy.
And or jail time. it's good.
And you know,
it's insane.
I mean, you know, we got Gabe sitting over there who handles our podcast.
Gabe,
can't
you got
see
an
him.
LLC, Gabe?
Gabe's got an LLC. Gabe, you registered?
CTA.
He's
Gabe.
Like, CTA.
Gabe's Googling.
He's Googling right now. Yes.
Gabe's Googling behind the scenes.
Gabe, it applies to you.
Because yeah, you've got to December 31st to get your shit together. We're all going to get fined $500 a day.
I'll give you my card.
It's fucking crazy. But I think Gabe's a great example, which is why I bring him out. I don't usually do that. But someone who just is an individual who provides a service, you know, whether it be anything, like professional to anything. I mean, fucking anything. It could be I have a food cart for all I know. You know, it could be anything. And I think it becomes more obvious when you start talking about business owners that have employees and businesses, then you're like, okay, well, not that it is obvious, but my point is I think it becomes a little more like, okay, there's regulation, blah, blah, blah. But when you're talking about individuals, this is huge. This is onerous.
And the thing about it is, like, bigger companies already have these things, right?
That's because my point. Right.
When you're
that's
going
my
on
point.
Stock market, whatever. Like, they have these prospectuses, and all the owners are just like, you have to file this stuff with the SEC, right?
So, well, and that's my point, right? The Marriott is filing this shit anyway.
Fine, okay. Right? They've got an army of attorneys and accountants making
that's
sure
my point.
Clients.
Yeah.
But the small business owners were never regulated like this, and, you know, on a federal level. So that I think that's where the shock comes in. You know, it's just, it's a mess. And the reality of it is, like, the day this thing went live, probably even before, it was already being challenged in the court system. And there have actually been, I mean, you know, there's been a couple months since this thing has been live. There have already been a numerous amount of lawsuits and challenges to this thing. And actually some and this is the thing, if you Google it, you might come across an article that says, oh, it's been found unconstitutional. Well, that's technically true. It was challenged, and the plaintiffs that brought that case won. But then our lovely FinCEN
immediately
released something.
Immediately said, like, not you fuckers, only have to do this.
The special people who brought that lawsuit are... Technically,
the rest of you will still find $500.
Temporarily exempt. And they're even appealing that. So, you know, basically the advice that we're giving, you know, that I'm giving everybody I know, my clients and friends and all that, that are business owners, is that they just comply with this and get it, you know, you got nothing to hide. Just put, it is a pain in the butt, but it is the law and we got to follow it. So the consequences, you know, if they really start, I mean, the way this thing was drafted, like, you're going to jail if you don't turn over your date of birth to the federal government. I mean, they already have it on your birth certificate. So.
I mean, what's interesting, actually, is something like, Alina, what you just said, and that just goes to show, because I think what we're missing here, or what maybe is not part of the conversation, and if you're not in my world, or in Christina's world, too, you wouldn't understand maybe some of the backstory behind this, because this is tracking very much to me the way 15 years ago with FATCA, with Obama, and that was, for anybody that doesn't know, that was the whole time that UBS is being, you know, fucking fined a gazillion trillion gigillion dollars for hiding U.S. person's money overseas, all that kind of Swiss bank account, Panama, this and that, right? Mm-hmm. And so FATCA tried to put a stop to that, or at least that was Obama's. And then we have CRS. Like, CRS comes right behind that. And that's where the United States was like, ha, fuck you guys, gotcha. Because by the time every other country is signing on to common reporting standards and giving up information about U.S. taxpayers, then Obama loses the Congress and says, I don't have the votes. I can't sign up to CRS, right? So we became the tax haven for the rest of the world. Like, circa 2010, 11, 12, every Argentinian person, every South American person with any money that needed to pull their shit out of Switzerland immediately went and parked it here. Around that same time, like, the IRS decided, wait, we're trying to go after all of these people, people that are doing tax evasion or money laundering or whatever it is. And FinCEN is really that kind of enforcement arm. But they're going, we don't actually have the structures. You know, like, when we put together, like, entity structures of, like, this owns this and 20% owns that and da-da-da-da-da, and it could, like, freaking be the size of this wall. There was a huge component missing. They're not interested in the Marriotts. The Marriotts already have reporting.
Correct.
They're interested in the LLCs that somebody pays one of my partners to become manager of, because nowhere do we usually have to report ownership, especially not at the state level. So this, to me, is just such a natural progression of what's been going on in the last 15 years, good or bad. I mean, I have a lot of opinions about this fucking nonsense, but it's just so obvious.
I can tell they're all positive.
Yeah.
Glowing reviews.
Yeah. And this is me trying to, this is me controlling myself because this is my world. But it's, the writing was on the wall, right? And they've gotten away with way more than this. You know, this lawsuit's very cute. It's very nice. I don't think it's fucking going anywhere. Yeah. It really isn't.
Yeah.
It really isn't.
Yeah, so it's a mess. And so, that timeline's, you know, and kind of like any government rollout that has not been properly announced or thought out very well, you know, they have this portal. Now, it's gone down for maintenance a couple times, but, you know, a gross majority of the filings have not occurred. Because, one, either people don't know what the fuck it is, or, two, they're waiting to see, you know?
I was about to say, I mean, I will happily sit here and admit, because I am well within my deadline, that I have not done shit. I don't know shit about this. Yeah. I am not worried, because I'm hoping that it all works out before December 31st, yeah, and this all goes away. Yeah. So I will be one of those people who will, yeah, calendar this for December 15th. So and, then I will, so the and then I will call Christina on December 15th and say, bitch, do I have to do something?
I guess I won't be taking a holiday.
You'll
break.
Be very busy.
I suggest
be
very busy, you block out December.
I know. I'm going to be sitting there watching this portal crash when 55 million business owners are like flooding the system with their driver's license scans. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I it's just, yeah, so unfathomable to me. And this is why I'm like, every time y'all start talking about this, it's unfathomable to me that this exists and nobody fucking knows.
Nope.
Like, this hasn't been talked about on the news. No. If you bring it up in conversation with people, they have no idea what you're talking about. I don't even know what the CTA acronym stood for until I Googled that shit. Like, Corporate Transparency Act. Yeah. That sounds terrible. That doesn't sound like anything that I need to worry about.
You know the people that have heard of it? They give it out in insomnia classes when you have a problem sleeping. They're just like, start reading this. Go.
Like, who fucking knows what this thing is? It sounds like some, you know, shit made up by someone in Congress, and nobody fucking worries about this. And unless you're like a nerd of the highest degree, you have no fucking concept of what this thing is, you know? Yeah. And for God's sakes,
shockingly, it was passed during the Trump years. So
that is shocking.
It is shocking.
That actually is shocking.
You know, it's kind of interesting, but
yeah, it is interesting actually. Well, yeah. Anyways, but I that's what I find crazy is that absolutely no one knows what the fuck is going on with this.
Vincent, and more importantly, so advertising. They have a marketing problem.
But I'm not even talking about that. I'm like, how has the news not picked this up? Because again, Marriott's not affected. I'm talking about like the day-to-day shit, the day-to-day people that have a normal LLC. Half of them open it for tax purposes, right? Working out of your house. Yeah. It's not like you have an office and 10 employees where you expect some sort of regulation, right? You got to deal with workman's comp and all that fucking bullshit that we have to deal with.
Yeah.
But when you're not even that size, like, this kind of shit is the last thing ever on your mind. Unless this is coming out on the news every day as a commercial, hey, bitches, get your shit in order. Like, who's paying attention to this shit?
Yeah, and it's true. And even when I've talked to people about it, they're just like, is this really going to be a big deal? I'm like, listen, like, the way this thing is drafted, if they want, you know, again, have, you know, this law is just like, the penalty part of this is just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's egregious.
And then, okay, so let's talk about that. So, great. Let's say December 31st comes and goes. You know, we're in 2025. Everyone starts getting fined, millions of dollars, whatever. Now what? Who's fucking enforcing this shit? What are we sending out? Like DeSantis's private guard that he's trying to?
No. This is the same way. This is going to happen the same way. The enforcement is going to be absolutely the same way in the way that they enforce your taxes.
So they'll just take it out of my tax
return. They could take it out of tax return. They could lien your shit. They could freeze your bank accounts. They could do many, many things. Yeah. No. This is the federal government. Okay.
In conclusion, we're all
state
fucked.
Government. Yeah. No, this is. They do have definitely some enforcement power. Now, I think this is so kind of ridiculous, this $500 a day. There's going to be something similar to like...
They got to tone that down.
They need to tone that shit down. Because Gabe, over here, behind the camera, you know, really, truly doesn't know.
She did. You know? Like at some point.
And so when we're talking about something as like ridiculous as like FBARs, which is usually dealing with like a U.S. person that has more than $10,000 offshore, did not report it, blah, 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 blah. Even that, you know, there's a whole lot of like, oh, you didn't know you needed to file. Oh, you didn't. You forgot you were a U.S. person because you moved to fucking South Africa.
I forgot I was a U.S. citizen.
I have a green card. My bad. You know, there's offshore voluntary disclosure procedures. There's the, you know, bad job, but we'll let you go through this process. You know, something much simpler than that's going to have to come about for this, because nobody really fucking knows they need to do this. And what are you going to try to find, like, everybody? Because what's interesting about this more than anything is because there's a state registry, they could literally pull, right, the 900,000 fucking LLCs in Florida and literally go one by one, I guess, and start sending demand letters. I mean, I guess if they really want
to. That's my this point when I say enforcement. I mean, maybe enforcement's the wrong word, but when I say enforcement, that's what I mean. Like, how do you even have, like, the sheer manpower to do this? Like, I mean, it's impossible. The IRS scale. Can't even fucking answer the phone.
Yeah.
Like, for their customer service line.
The crazy thing, you know, they're shifting the burden to you, the being the business owner. Yeah. Like, it's on you. I mean, look, you may get away with murder and never be caught, never be audited by the IRS, but it's still on you, right?
To, like, the day you get audited.
Yeah. And this is just one of those things. It's like, you know, it's, you know, something that you got to file, and you have to file it, an initial application, and then here's the crazy shit. So then if you change, like, you sell your business to someone else, or you bring in a partner or something that goes over that threshold.
You change president on Sunbiz, right? Yeah,
exactly. You change presidents, officers, whatever.
The fucking manager on your LLC went from the great honorable Manuel Rodriguez back to tu primo, porque no quieres pagar la mani. Well, you got to go for a change.
Yeah, you got to go back in there.
You got to go back in there and fucking file an update. Report.
And how much are these filings?
Well,
I assume there's a cost associated with them.
Yeah, it's not so much. It's not so much about the cost of the filing. It's where the
trouble.
It's the trouble, but where the effort comes in is, like, for example, I know my clients. I formed their companies. I drafted their operating agreements. I know their corporate structure. I know that when I start looking up a corporate, structure, and there's the company owns a company owns a company, I work my way back to the human, right? But the thing is, the vast majority of small business owners out there built it on their own. They didn't go through an attorney. So
it's, I was about to say
the time
operating agreement,
the time and the disclosure, like
what's that?
Yeah, to navigate the FinCEN website, to get into this portal, you have to do a whole registration process. It, you know, people like us that do it commonly got assigned a number. If you don't have a number, you're using your social. If you're doing it for your own company or someone else's, if you don't have this number that they've assigned out to you. And then with every change, you've got to make this thing. And there is that, it is a time. It's one, figuring out this portal and navigating all of that, but also knowing who in your company has to report, who has that duty to report. So it's digging into the law. It's a time issue more than anything. And so with every new client where they're coming in with, you know, I have some clients that have over 155 LLCs because they, you know, have a big structure and they're technically, you know, they're owning different assets and stuff, but I have to go into the operating agreements of each one of these LLCs and see, you know, who are the owners that meet that threshold and who are the decision makers that meet that requirement. And then going in, then I have to go to each one of those people and get their information and make sure it gets filed properly. So that's where the danger comes in. And you know, again, if you make a mistake or you don't comply with this thing, the penalties in there are just ridiculous. It's just crazy.
Yeah. There's going to have to be some type of amnesty. Hey, I didn't know. Oops, check the box.
Like an oopsie.
Yeah, I mean, oops.
I've been trying to
get like,
immigration attorney's been trying for amnesty a long time. Shit ain't flying.
It's going to need to be
you're all fucked.
My bad. Yeah.
And it's kind of the same. Like, look, you know, registering a business on a state registry, a lot of people do that themselves too.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
And all is well and good until there's an issue, right? Until, you know, they've formed that family business and they, or with their best friend or whatever it is, and then shit hits the fan and they actually have to go, you know, fight it out or fix something, and then it becomes a mess. So, and I think, you know, a lot of people are just going to file or have someone or hire someone file this for them and then just think, oh, I'm good to go, I'm done. But not knowing the law and not knowing all those little intricacies in there about when you have to go and update.
I was about to say, so it's one and done unless you got to update.
Well, yeah. And what are the updates that you have to re-register? You do. Every time there's a basically a significant change to the company in management or in ownership.
Yeah. And you know what comes to mind immediately? Like the, when you go on Sunbiz here in Florida and you can register whatever you want, right? There's like 100 things to choose from.
Yeah.
And some of these things have been made, are like, don't exist anymore in our laws after certain amendments, yeah, after whatever, right? So this, like, what immediately comes to mind is like managing member, which does, yeah, not fucking exist in the law anymore, but you could still choose it on Sundays, right? Your dumb ass can go be managing member if you fucking want to, right? Like, I mean, things like this that are not so, yeah, again, these are public registries, right? So yeah, I guess if I was, I don't know, fucking special agent FinCEN, give me a fucking badge or something, and I'm going to go looking up, who are the fucking clowns? Oh yeah, right. Like looking up this nonsense. And then I mean, you could even, I guess, quality control against your tax return, right? For that company. Like there's just, yeah, so many ways you could fuck something up on some level. And then, yeah, all of a sudden you have FinCEN after your ass, fining you whatever amount per day.
$500
a day.
Yeah.
Because you're, and you declared, and of course you didn't fucking know what the hell you clicked on fucking Sunbiz. Like, you know what I mean? Like it wasn't your attorney that did it. Everybody goes on there and does their own amendments and all their own nonsense.
What are the criminal? You said criminal, you know, penalties. There's criminal.
Well,
penalties?
If you're doing it willfully and they could. Yeah.
Right, oh, like you're like, fuck these people, we'll see.
Well, obviously, yeah, you defraud your application, but it's like even non-compliance is like there's a penalty. There's crazy penalties right now. The way it's written is jail time, technically.
Yeah, there's a difference between I didn't know I needed to report, yeah, or fuck you, I'm not reporting because, yeah, I'm doing sketchy shit in the,
well,
background.
But now that we all know, we're all in that fuck you, I'm not reporting.
Well, now there's a podcast. Now there's a podcast.
Now our ass is, now Gabe's getting arrested.
Prima facie evidence that we know. And Gabe is like, I'm out.
Gabe's like, and we're out.
This is over.
Over.
This podcast is over. Like,
you're on notice now. We're fucked. Now it's willful.
I mean,
now
really,
we're going to jail.
Just,
it's not just $500.
Honestly, this to me is, okay, because let's remember, they're really going after people that are non-compliant, that are not paying their taxes, that are money laundering. This is just another, yeah, way to rope you into some kind of criminal statute for what is really civil reporting liability, right? So overreach. Government overreach.
That's the name of this episode, apparently. Government overreach.
Awesome. Government overreach.
Oh man. Yes. Well, you mentioned operating agreements. Let's go back to that.
Turn the page. Now that your business is in existence,
So you're now the managing member, and
you're now the managing member.
Oh God. God help us. Is there a disclaimer on the bottom of this podcast?
We can make one. What would you like it to say?
Hire a lawyer immediately.
This is not legal advice.
I'll draft a disclaimer for you.
Excellent. Yeah, you do that. We'll attach it to all the podcasts. That's a good idea. We should have done that.
Yeah.
We need waivers too, by the way. We need waivers from all of our.
Is she getting free like legal services out of you, Wilson? And I need waivers for all our podcasts.
We need a generic waiver. We need a generic waiver for like everyone that comes on here. Be like, we can use their images.
Oh yeah, that's
that. Fucking use their clips.
Absolutely.
I can fight you forever.
I'm like, what kind of waiver are you talking about?
We need like a little TM. We did trademark our name.
Falls on my head.
For the record, we did trademark our name. Our name is trademarked.
So if you use our shit, I'm coming after you like a cat. Absolutely.
Sue your ass if you don't. If you use our name, okay.
Oh boy. Like the cat.
Like the cat. That's what I said. I'm coming after you like a fucking cat.
Has that
came after me?
Do we need to have that story?
No, I don't think we're doing that. Can we do that? I don't think we're going to go there.
Oh, I took that whole clause out of my fucking settlement agreement that I could talk all the fucking shit.
You
I did?
Oh, I love that.
Oh, I did.
So there's
only
no
thing I edited on that fucking settlement agreement.
Then in that case, I think
I was
a great
like,
story.
I will talk shit about this until my dying day, motherfucker.
I think this is a great
I will call out, if I could remember the fucking lawyer, I would call that out.
Okay, okay, we're out of control. So let's rein it back here.
Right about.
And let's tell the viewing audience and the listening audience
but
what the fuck you're talking about.
But we did talk about this a little bit on Augusto's podcast.
A little bit, but at that point it wasn't settled and you hadn't signed a waiver.
So we're really going here now? Okay. Circa 2019. We were writing, you know, every week we got to come up with a newsletter. You should subscribe. It's a good time. And we put some stuff on the blog.
Trust Council website.
Trust Council website. Dead Celebrities. Let's do it. But it was actually just like a pet trust. That's actually all God knows what marketing company we use to write some very generic blogs. And there was
I think
a beautiful
some great lessons here
picture.
For your
oh, there's fantastic
oh,
lessons
gonna,
here
of
what not
of
to do.
Don't worry.
On the corporate side, there's fantastic.
That's where we're
lessons.
Going. But you tell the story, and Christina will tell us the corporate
but yes,
side.
Yes. So there is a picture of what I thought was a fluffy white cat. some old lady holding a white cat, and it was just talking about like, oh, you can, in this country particularly, leave assets for the care of your pet,
this
right?
is like the trust. Best story.
And so all of a sudden, apparently in the beginning of last year, we get served with a lawsuit for $150,000 plus attorney's fees for the use of that picture. So some, you know, charlatan, I don't remember his fucking name right now, an attorney in New York, bought the rights to this picture or whatever, and sued us. And copyright law, all of this kind of IP stuff, is from way back when, before there was the fucking internet, before Al Gore invented the internet.
There you go.
People used to joke.
I think we just dated ourselves.
Very, very old. Yes, very definitely.
Hashtag old.
But
But you. I want to make this very clear to people listening. Right, we're talking about. Leslie has a probate estate law firm that has absolutely nothing to do with copyright.
No.
This is like her private newsletter that she sends out for networking for clientele.
So this was on the blog.
And the blog, you know, this is a business promotional thing she does, like anyone would do when they put up
any small business owner, pet trust,
like all business owners when they put up a social media post with a picture they Googled.
All
like,
of you,
right? Like
all of you could get sued.
Everybody listening has done this,
guys. We all do this.
All business owners do this, right? We put up a picture. Look how cute my mug from Starbucks.
Right.
You know, like.
Right. And as Augusto explained to us that day, the person that takes the picture is the owner of the picture, right? Unless you sell it and whatever. So this thing is registered.
Augusto is our trademark and copyright attorney.
Please go see episode whatever number. Put it below. We'll link it below. And like, that's it. So imagine you have a picture. I mean, you literally Google lady with cat. I don't know what my marketing company Googled, to be honest with you. And they posted this picture of some nobody. The fucking cat. It wasn't a cat. It was a dog, but I digress. For a long time, we thought it was a fluffy white
Everyone thought it was a cat.
We all thought it was a cat. Because
it was a Maltese.
It was a fluffy white dog.
It was a Maltese.
But we get sued.
It's okay.
And this is federal court. I mean, you're in the big leagues now.
This New York attorney comes along who makes a living
doing this.
Out of doing this. And sues Leslie.
Troll. These are called copyright trolls.
They're called copyright
trolls.
And
of course, they don't sue broke motherfuckers. They find good... defendants to sue. And they absolutely sued us. And we had to settle this for a lot of money. A lot of money to get rid of this because we were 3 weeks from trial.
And because this is, what is this? Strict
Rocket
liability.
What
it's called?
Yeah. Almost strict liability. Like the fact that you are a business enterprise and that it's on your blog. So there's some type of commercial use. It doesn't really matter that you made really no money off the damn picture. It still had a commercial use.
Right. It's not like you sold the picture or you made some like actual money in your pocket with this fucking picture.
Yes.
So that's the story.
The moral of the story is.
So now let's talk about lessons learned.
Yeah. I actually think the biggest lesson is a policy of procedure one, if you could believe it.
Ooh.
Because they swear, and it's a verified complaint, right? So let's just take it as face value, that they sent, I think it was 4 demand letters the year before in the mail.
To you.
To this office. Right? Now, what was going on that year before was a revolving door of receptionists that don't actually answer the phone, but had that take the mail. And although there was a, kind of whatever policy and procedure in place of logging the mail, it could have been better. And any one of those letters that Augusto would have responded to and said, what the fuck do you guys want? This could have maybe gone away for $5,000.
Right. Yeah.
But again, it's one of
those.
Because
this is all an
like...
extortion gig, guys. Let's be very clear. This really is not legitimate. Like, yes.
So lesson number one, policies and procedures.
Because look, this impacts, again, it's one of those things that could impact any small business owner out there. That has their kid doing the marketing for them and posting stuff on Instagram or whatever. Like, this is crazy. So, yes, one, make sure you got someone opening your mail. Very important.
Very important.
And also reading the mail. Not just opening. You have to read it also.
Yes.
And analyzing whether it's important or not.
And if it looks scary.
Reading,
exactly. If it's in red, govern yourself accordingly. Those are the hints.
You need to get that to someone important, right? So, yeah, I think that's very important. The other thing that you could have done to prevent this is take organic pictures, right? Or, which you may or may not do, but take organic pictures of of what you're going to embed.
You could have taken a picture of the fucking stray cat outside and this would have all gone away.
This cat could be a millionaire.
Did you also waive how much this fucking cost you?
Oh yeah, a lot.
It cost a lot of money. Is all we'll say.
We need a tax deductible.
A lot.
Well, listen, we won't talk about what you settled for. But under law, the statute says how much is the maximum?
It's $150,000.
$150,000, guys. That is the law.
Which is not even. I mean, it's a concern.
Yeah.
But their attorney's fees for litigating and going to trial, etc., will absolutely be another $150,000.
Yeah. We're talking about $300,000 for using a picture. Of a cat.
Of a random cat, guys. Don't think that this is fucking Taylor Swift's cat or something, all right? Like, the cat does not have its own Instagram. Like, this is fucking kid got.
This was not Lady Gaga stolen dogs. This
is not, like, I don't know. The cat, wait, there's a Karl Lagerfeld. Is it a cat or a dog? He has his own Instagram.
Does it make a difference?
I mean, my dog has its own Instagram. That one has its own, you know, property rights. That dog makes more money than all of us. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, no, this was a fucking gata wagera. Like, just a fucking random cat. Some old fucking lady.
Okay, so lesson one, policies and procedures.
So in place lesson one.
For all employees. And you should write those down. It should be like in a manual, right?
No, and they should be manual. And someone should check that somebody's abiding.
Yeah.
This is the most important part.
I think the other important thing
for business
owners, like, it's great HR manuals, policies and procedures.
Oh,
like,
they're adorable. Like, they're so cute.
Very useful, right? I represent a lot of business owners on their day-to-day stuff. And even a lot of times, if I ask a business owner, hey, do you got an HR manual or do you have a policy manual or operations manuals, you know, standard operating procedures, whatever you want to call it. They're like, yeah. And then they go and they dust it. They pull it out of some file cabinet that hasn't been opened in freaking 10 years. And it hasn't been updated. And nobody knows it even exists. You know, a typical business, especially in this day and age, you got a revolving door of people coming in and out, part-time labor, seasonal labor, you know. And it's just one of those things. You got to make sure that you're communicating that to your staff. Like, how do you operate and what to do in those kind of situations? So that you're not just being reactive when a legal problem or something, you know, hits the fan, but you're proactively preventing it, because that can save you six figures. And that's a deal killer for a small business owner.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy.
I feel like there's so much. And listen, as someone who owns a small business that used to be smaller, right? We're going to be 10 years in business this year, which I think is a big deal. Yeah, super exciting.
Yeah.
But that being said, I think back to when we opened the business, and even saying that, like, open the business is a 5-minute filing online. Like, let's be real, right? That we did ourselves. And while I am a lawyer, I'm not sort of this kind of lawyer. So I may be the managing director. What is it? I don't even fucking know. I don't even fucking know what title I am right now. I could be
we'll
one
check
of those.
That, out for you.
That could be me. I don't fucking know.
Right. Pledge agreements has got to have a BOI report too.
I don't even know what a BYO report is. Bring your own booth. Bring your own operation.
That's the report you're filing to FINSA.
BYO.
Not bring your own
BOI. Beneficial ownership.
Beneficial information report.
Bring your own information. Boy, whatever.
El boy. Oye, el Juancero know what it is, because somebody the other day really said it to Alejandro. Sí, yo sé el boy. And I'm like, wow.
El boy.
Cuidado. Like,
watch out.
The guys at Hialeah, they got a file.
I love it.
All right. So apart from having a boy, whatever the fuck that means. There's all kinds of documents that you never do. Like, I'm just thinking now, right? And now I think we're a lot more careful about having an HR manual and having written policies and procedures. And our firm has grown over 10 years. And at some point you start growing up as a business owner, right? For lack of a better term. And you're like, shit, I gotta
You are forced to.
Yeah. You are forced to grow up.
We can actually all attest to this. Like, you know, if you take something as simple like an HR manual where you just start with this, like, handshake, whatever, 3-page agreement. You're like, oh, this is sufficient. I don't need to have all these formal policies. And then you have to send home your first employee for not wearing underwear to the office.
Hashtag true story for Christina.
A sparkly tube top.
First thing that popped in my head.
Really?
I gotta add that to my HR manual.
Like,
that's awesome.
Like, the fucking balls of people to be like, is that in the HR manual? You can't look like a stripper in a law firm. It doesn't need to be in the HR manual. Literally.
I used to know someone who used to come to work in a swimsuit. I do. This is a true story. I actually have friends that you know who will confirm this. We worked with someone before I opened up shop who used to go to the office in a swimsuit, in which she would just use it as a bra, basically. And so you could see the swimsuit, right?
Wow. Like, it was the Miami's bra. A crazy place.
I mean, what are you going to tell her? She can't wear that bra? You ain't fucking saying that as a business owner.
I would. I'd be like, that's not appropriate. Gotta get home.
That's so bitch.
I said
to strip her home.
Right. Well, let me be very clear about how this went down.
Yeah.
But they will throw it in your face, which was fascinating to me.
So as I was saying, you learn, right?
You learn.
Grow up.
Yeah.
Some of it the right way, some of it the hard way.
The very expensive way.
Sometimes you learn the expensive way as you grow as a business owner I should write that shit down. We should document. Every time I tell someone I document employee performance before we fire anyone, you get the, but Florida is a right to work state. We don't need to have a reason to fire anyone. We can fire them tomorrow. I'm like, yeah, great. That doesn't stop them from suing you for discrimination.
Yeah, I know. And that's so those are always fun conversations because, you know, again, I'll get the business owner. They'll call me in this state of panic or just kind of enraged, you know, like, I made this decision, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay, did we journal anything? Like, okay, like you have like a never-ending laundry list of infractions of this employee for doing crazy shit, like having intercourse in the break room or smoking marijuana and hiding drugs in your locker or whatever.
Oh.
Like, I've had some doozies over the years, like crazy shit.
I feel like I could still get sued, so I'm going to keep mine to myself. Not partake of my
No, but like, you know, representing business owners of just, you know, obviously in subordination, the basic ones are just obvious, right? But, you know, those stories, they just say, well, they just did this, so I let them go. Okay, that's great. But you need to document or write them up, give them opportunity, do your investigation, go through the process. Because the thing is, like, a lot of these things between, you know, there's a time period that could go by where you have witnesses, you have things that, you know, you have a story right now where, like, you know, you have five other employees that were there that saw it and everybody's very clear as to what happened and whatever. And just that simple step of making those statements, you know, when this thing hits the fan 2 years later and you're like, oh, none of those employees are here anymore and I've got no one that can help me, you know, unpack this turd.
I have no witnesses
exactly
to this foolishness.
So you're going to have to clean up that slop without any kind of ammunition behind your back when you really had all, you know, you had good grounds for it. So
you don't think anything's going to happen until it happens.
Yeah.
I think it's you know, we all believe in seeing the best in people and we think we're doing our best and acting fair. And that's just not always how
good
it works
out. Good intentions, benefit of the doubt, all that fun stuff. You get burned a couple times. You're like, nope. Yeah. Like, not doing this.
You're like,
shit
do
again.
I really need to write this up? It wasn't that big a deal until it's like not that big a deal 20 times.
Yeah.
So we've spoken a little bit about, you know, people doing this and growing up. And again, we start off by creating all our own fucking documents and shit, you know, and not hiring people to do things. Because let's be real, we're small, we're mom and pops, and we're like, I can't afford to hire a corporate attorney to spend, you know, $10,000 doing my corporate documents. But at some point, you got to grow up and realize these have real consequences. But, you know, Christina, there's all these great tools out there now, like LegalZoom and ChatGPT. And I mean, isn't that the same shit as what you do?
That's great. Those are my favorite. Those are my favorite agreements that I get. Yeah, look, I mean, I get it. Like, I'm going to start twitching soon. Right now, hives.
We got some Starbucks coffee for you right here. Awesome. Sponsored by Starbucks. No, I'm just kidding. We're not sponsored by anyone. Don't take me serious.
No, you know, like, the LegalZoom, the ChatGDP, my God, like these contracts, the internet contracts, look, we go to law school for 3 years. We study this. We learn how to draft contracts. You know, when you download your agreement off Google, it may look official and it may sound official. But
you have no idea what you're looking at.
You don't know what you're looking at. You don't know what you're agreeing to. What's left out? I cannot count on every finger or toe I have how many times I've gotten a contract where five different contracts have been spliced together and it doesn't make any freaking sense whatsoever. They've taken, you know, like a service agreement and merged it with a shareholder agreement and a loan agreement. And I'm like, what the hell is happening here? You know, and again, there's all these like legal concepts. Putting that aside, it just doesn't even make sense. There's,
well, but to the untrained eye, it's crazy. Exactly.
Yeah, it's more than three pages, so it must be official, right? Like, and then again, it's like buying car insurance. You know, like the thing is with with these documents, right? When you have a contract, I get it. Nobody wants to. You got to watch what you spend, especially at the beginning when you're growing as a business and all that. But it's like buying car insurance. You buy car insurance with the hope and in the expectation that you'll never have to use it, right? Buy that policy, you throw it in the glove box or whatever, you leave it in your email, whatever, and you hope you never have to look at it again, right? And it's the same thing with a contract. You know, you're not really, you put that contract in place. It's not like you're staring at it every week when you come into the office, like how pretty my contract is. You chuck it.
I don't know. My contract is pretty.
You chuck it in a drawer, and the only time you're pulling it out is when shit hits the fan, when there's a problem, right? With between one of the parties, or when someone's claiming you didn't do your job or you didn't get paid on time or something like that. And now you're going out there to get this lovely spliced Frankenstein contract and you're trying to interpret it as for your situation, which most of the time is not even there. You know, and then we have the ChatGPT contracts as well that, look, that technology is amazing.
I was about to say, there's been a lot of ChatGPT hate on this podcast, and I would just like to say, I am a proud ChatGPT user.
It's a great
I got
tool.
Alina GPT now. I've had it. I've designed my own. So if you do the paid version of ChatGPT, you actually can create your own GPTs that do things and mimic things. So, for example, I have an immigration GPT. That creates social media posts based on immigration. So I uploaded a lot of immigration documents. So it learned all the immigration lingo and it knows a lot about immigration law. Actually, my immigration GPT specifically built for that. And then I also created one that is my personal voice based on what I like. And I uploaded a lot of my social media posts and memories and things like that. And I kind of
what you're saying is you're too lazy to respond to your friends at this point.
Pretty much. No. But I created one that has my voice. So for example, on my social media, sometimes I'll say I wanna create a post about, I don't know, my visit to, for example, Statue of Liberty. That's a good one. I went to Statue of Liberty, something very meaningful for an immigration attorney. It was a squishy visit, like legit. And sure. And I've uploaded a lot of things, and I can ask it for at least draft one before I edit it, right? Of write me a social media post about the Statue of Liberty,
right.
Specifically talking about this, the meaning of it as, you know, such a foundational immigration place in my practice and in my life. And it created a lovely post, and I edit it because I like it to sound a lot like me. But my Alina GPT is actually doing a really good job of this. And then the more and more I play with it, the more it has learned my voice and my thoughts.
Right.
And it's fucking impressive. I mean, it's impressive. And the immigration one, amazing. Like, I've been asking it to do a lot of, like, some of my newsletters. It doesn't write it from scratch, but I use it to create paragraphs and sections. I'll be like, I want to do a newsletter on this. So I'll ask it, okay, write me one paragraph on this topic. And then I'll be like, okay, now write me a paragraph on this. And then I can go in and add some examples and edit it. But, I mean, if you are a small business owner and you are not using the GPTs, like ChatGPT, you are missing out.
Yeah.
And even the free version is absolutely worth it. Like, for those of you, the paid version is like $20 a month. Okay. Totally fucking worth the $20 because I've now created my own GPTs.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of running for election for one of my boards that I sit on in the next year. And I was playing around because you can also like search. Yeah. Well, I was about to say you can search for other people. Just like I created the Alina GPT and I created my immigration GPT. You can search public ones, like other people will create them and put them out there. Some are private, like the ones I made, I keep to myself, but you can share them. And so I've been searching through them and it's fascinating. There's GPTs for everything. So I said I was thinking about running for something, and I went to one that was like an election GPT, and it was creating buttons for me. And I was like, I need a good tagline. My name, I want it to rhyme. Like, I want it to be funny. I don't want it to be so serious. I want it to be colorful. Like, okay, I don't like those colors. Make it go these colors. They're more peaceful. And it created the cutest little, I'm not going to tell you what it is because I haven't run for office yet. And it's a surprise. But But it created the cutest Logan that I fell in love with. I mean, again, after like 20 rounds, but for brainstorming, it's amazing.
And that's what I was going to say.
Amazing.
Like,
amazing.
Just taking what you just said about just topics, like for a business owner or for anybody, for anything, like I think it's a phenomenal tool to brainstorm and to
100%
to get a baseline of information. Like, if you want to learn about the Corporate Transparency Act, go type that in there and you could go to town. But But when you're turning towards, like, again, like you said, even with your social media posts, it's a good base to start with, but then you have to make tweaks, right?
So sure. Well, it lacks intuition. Correct. It lacks true education. It lacks true knowledge.
And it's some, there's some misapplication going on there. And just some missing, like, you know, a lot of times you have state law or federal law, whatever. So when you're talking about official documents and things like that, you need to make sure that they're done properly. And I think it's a fantastic tool. I'm not a hater of it, but I think it's not there yet. I think it's a good base to start with, but you still need it. Because again, that document, when you're in trouble, that's when you're going to be looking at it.
Well, 100%. So I don't disagree with you. I mean, I think there's some wonderful applications. And then it comes to, but should it be writing my contracts?
Right. Do you really want it? But, you know,
does it know the Florida law as well as a lawyer would at this point? I don't know. You know, it's I will tell you that it's fascinating for things like when we were updating our manual, we asked the things like, give me some ideas of some clauses we should include in our manual. And it did a fantastic job of like spitting out 20 things, right? Like, you should include a dress code. You should include hours. You should include. And I was like, this is brilliant. Because while I came out with a bunch of things we had already thought of, there was actually like two or three things that we hadn't really considered. And it gave us the opportunity to talk about it and decide what we wanted that to be and then draft appropriate language on our own.
Yeah. And then look, it's a one size fits all kind of thing. Yeah. You can say, give me the top 10 clauses that should be in this.
Exactly.
That's great. But you know what, guys? Every sentence in a contract means something. It's either giving you rights or taking them away or giving you obligations or putting it on a different party.
It's true.
Every contract is negotiable and customizable for what you prefer. And I think while it's a good base, there are some things like I have, like if you take something simple like a lease agreement, I've got one client where the most important thing for that particular client is he wants a tenant in his property. He wants a long-term tenant in his property, start, finish. He wants that cash flow. He relies on that cash flow to pay his bills, to pay for his kids' tuition. He wants to make sure he's got always has a tenant in there. I right down the road, I have another real estate investor that we have several properties that we are helping them out with. And his biggest thing is flexibility. He wants to be able to relocate or terminate and throw someone out of a space so he can repurpose it because that's not in his long-term path. That's not what's important to him. It's not that it's good or bad or ugly or anything. It's just what do they prefer? And I think like if you just GPT something and say blah, 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 all those customizable things that all those preferences that you have that serve your greater interest, they can get missed.
100%.
100%. That's where it gets important. But
no different than downloading an internet lease, right?
Exactly. Well, it's probably better than downloading an internet lease.
Well, I mean, we might have evolved a little bit.
Might have evolved a little bit.
A little bit. But, you know, ChatGPT is the first thing that'll tell you not to rely on it for legal advice. Yeah. The one positive thing I can say, and I said this to all the lawyers. Yeah, but like every time you ask it a legal question, because I've tried, it might tell you what it thinks, and then it concludes with, I'm not a lawyer, get some advice.
Right.
And when the AI is telling you that.
AI is telling you. Gotta go with it. We get a lot of, LegalZoom is just an example. There's several of those platforms out there, but again, a lot of contracts from those kind of services. Where it's a one size fits all boilerplate template agreement. And it's just, when you're trying to clean up the mess after the fact,
I have another question while we were on the topic of agreements. Do you draft non-competes?
I do draft non-competes from time to time. Yes, I do.
Can you explain to everyone what a non-compete is?
Sure. So, and this is a concept that's, it's been around for a long time. So basically you're a business owner, you've built your craft, you have your service or your product that is special to your business. And then you go out and you hire staff, right? You don't want that staff to be able to, you know, pick it up and open up shop.
Steal your shit.
Steal your shit.
Don't steal my ideas.
Right. And take it, you know, across the street and just start selling it, you know, and pilfer your idea. So, you know, through contract law, there's these covenants not to compete or, you know, agreements, non-compete agreements, where they either in scope of work, time, or geographic region, they limit, they protect that employer that's hired someone for a given time period in a given region for a scope of work, protect their ideas and give them the rights to basically own their stuff. So if an employee comes and works for them and leaves, they can't just go open up shop across the street.
Yeah.
So, and it varies from state to state. And I've seen some, again, you know, I've seen some crazy non-compete language out there. Like, you can do this anywhere in the world, blah, 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 for the next 50 years of your life, you know. Like, and some of them are a bit ridiculous, right? But again, a lot depends on, you know, the product, right? So if you're, like, talking about Burger King versus McDonald's or whatever, but then you have something like Coca-Cola that has that secret formula, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or if you work for a pharmaceutical company and they're developing a cancer treatment or something like that, millions of dollars and years get dumped into developing that product. And then just to have it like kind of ripped off and resold, you know, it's a deterrent for people to invest in research and invest in product development and things like that.
Are non-competes still legal in Florida?
They are still legal in Florida. They are still legal. So this actually has made some news, unlike the CTA. Uh-huh. So there's been some talk about the FTC basically finding non-competes unconstitutional, basically banning them, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, it again, they just opened up for commentary on this back in March. It's still in the like petri dish phase of, you know, challenges and stuff like this. But they're just getting feedback and commentary right now. But as you can imagine, employment law firms and employers all over the place are jumping up and down because this is just, it's a deterrent, you know, for them to do business, to invest, just knowing that their stuff could get ripped off, right? Or that they can't keep an employee from going and taking their knowledge that they've spent thousands of dollars training that employee to the competition and just, you know, putting them out of business. So, but basically from what has kind of happened, the development over this, again, yes, it's out there and there's a lot of talk. I hear it a lot from my business owner clients, like, oh, covenant not to compete aren't enforceable anymore and these non-competes and non-solicitations, they have no bearing anymore, but that's not true. And again, many people feel it's another example of government overreach. Mm-hmm. That, yeah, it's on the federal level, but that even if this happens, you know, like there's still state laws that come into play here. And again, well before this law becomes a law, well before any of this becomes a law, there's going to be challenges and commentary out the rear end on this one. So, you know, hold tight, you know, stay, you know, knowledgeable about it. But right now, you know, the buzz on the street from, you know, corporate lawyers, employment lawyers is, you know, as long as your covenant not to compete, your non-compete agreements are still reasonable in time and scope, you're okay. You can use them. I'm still putting them in contracts. We're still using them. And we're going to see how it unfolds, but you know, it's an important thing for a lot of business owners.
And that certainly seems to have been slow rolled.
Yeah.
Like it came out the gate with a lot of press and a lot of whatever, yeah. And then kind of yeah. like everybody.
Pumping the brakes.
Yeah. Everybody yeah. kind of lost interest or something. Yeah.
This is what's going to happen with right. the CTA.
Oh yeah. No. FinCEN doesn't lose interest in shit.
Well, with all that being said, I hate to say we're out of time because there's still so much shit to talk about, but
I'll come back. Maybe
you should come back if we didn't scare you away. But any final thoughts for our viewing and listening audience, Christina?
Listen, you know, again, there's a lot of developments going on out there. And for all my business owner people out there, just remember, it's not just about being reactive. Yes, there are going to be laws that get rolled out that we have to comply with. But when you're running your business as you scale, you need to put out the fires, but you also need to think about how you can prevent them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our law firm, we've represented business owners for my entire legal career. That's what I do. And we listen to them. We've created plans for them where we serve as their, like, their lawyer. We're on their team. They call us whenever they want.
Like in-house counsel.
Like, you got someone to call when you're with every question you could possibly have. Sometimes people call me, and it's not even necessarily a legal question. They just want to get a third party advice on how to handle a situation. But again, you're not alone out there. You don't need to fly blind and go with an internet contract. There are resources out there that are affordable that you can budget into your budget so that you're not being blindsided with a crazy legal bill. But these are investments in your business, and you have to take your business seriously so that you don't have to deal with headaches.
Or you won't get sued by a cat.
Or you don't get sued by animals, right? So, and all these things are completely avoidable.
And for the record, it was a dog.
It was a dog. It's a
dog. I just want to make that really clear that she didn't even know what animal she was getting sued by.
It's a typical business owner client.
Right? Yes.
It's exactly right. You know, and that's the thing. Like, you got to stay focused on your business, whatever it is that you do. You don't want to worry about getting sued or dealing with these problems. So, you know, but you do want to make sure they got handled so you don't get just creamed on the back end. So,
yeah,
you know, we're here. You know, our law firm helps business owners with their day to days. We help put infrastructure in place. We help you see those things that you don't have the eyes to see, that you just walk by every day or that you're just doing every day that could become a problem or legal exposure in some capacity. So we're here to help. And yeah, that's about it.
Thank you, Christina. That was very nice. And you know, fuck that cat. That's all we're saying. All right. This has been La Shit You Should Know. Thank you all for watching and listening, and we'll see you again next time.